You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. As well, you can hear these podcasts at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. There are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, which are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 117A by Rudolf Steiner, 13 lectures, entitled The Gospel of John and the Three Other Gospels, translated by Dr. Katrin Binder. This is Lecture 5, given in Stockholm on the 8th of January, 1910. The individuality that incarnated at the John baptism, in the body in which previously the Zarathustra I had been present, had, because it was such a high individuality, an ability to suffer and feel pain, not to a lesser measure, on the contrary. This has to be emphasized, because many people believe that the one who incarnated at the John baptism was a higher individuality and therefore suffers less. But that is not the case. Which individuality had incarnated? The Zarathustra individuality left the three bodies, and another individuality entered. One can rise only slowly and gradually to the understanding of him who lived on earth during these 3 years. It was a being that had never been on this earth before. Zarathustra had once proclaimed that the Ahura Mazda, spiritual light, is present behind the physical light of the sun. We must not imagine anything abstract here, but a real spiritual being, an individuality that never incarnated before nor after. One acquires a complete concept when ascending to even higher levels than we have tried to suggest. For, to understand it, human beings must begin first to understand themselves. We must tell ourselves, I have gradually become the being I am today, from an incomplete being. But gradually, I will become more and more perfect. A disposition is present as a seed in me that will emerge later. Step by step, we have developed into the feeling, wanting, and thinking being that we are now. But we also find hidden in ourselves gifts, seeds, that have not yet started growing, and that indicate a continuous development in ages to come. The more we develop ourselves in this way, the richer becomes our realization of the world, the deeper our understanding of the mystery of life. We can thus compare our being with that of the greater world. What do we look for from one incarnation to the other? I will find ever more insights, feelings about the world in my soul. Those who say they can find this in their soul, and it is not outside, they might as well say they are drinking water from an empty glass. Whatever we allow to rise in our soul as thoughts and feelings, it must be present in it already. All that we will yet find into all futures must already exist at the origin of the world. There is a spiritual content in the world. Whatever we can eventually find within ourselves has already been present in the world at the primordial beginning. What do we find outside? 1, the world of minerals. It runs according to what are called the lifeless laws of nature. 2, plants we find and say we have the same in ourselves. 3, also the same that is present in animals. But we have something the others do not have, and that has to be developed ever further. The animal can rise to a sound that is an expression of inner pain, but not to that which forms our sound in such a way as to become a manifestation of the content of our thoughts. Through this, human beings can feel themselves to be the crown of earthly creation. And we can call our eye that which brings forth this sound. In the human being is the word, worked through by thought, woven through by thought, that rays forth, as it were, from the eye. This word has always been regarded, readers aside, there's a gap in the transcript, end of readers aside. if human beings become able to see into a far future, so that their word can become shot through with something ever higher. Readers aside, there's a gap in the transcript. End of readers aside. If we look back into the most ancient times, we find the eye spread out in the world. And if we go even further back, we find the word of the world as an expression of the world eye. We find that the word of the world has originated with the world eye. Just as the human body is a physical expression of the eye living in us, the cosmos is an expression of the word of the world. Zarathustra called the word of the world that is behind the light of the world Ahura Mazda. In Greek, this word of the world was called the Logos. Zarathustra pointed beyond the light at the word of the world. And John the Baptist was called to realize when this word of the world was to manifest itself. He was destined to say when it incarnated, "Until now the word of the world has only been poured out in the entire compass of the cosmos. Now it has taken hold of a soul for the first time." We see that the Zarathustra eye leaves the bodies in the 30th year of life. That which is at the basis of our cosmos as spiritual content then enters. The one whom Christ appointed as his proclaimer said, readers aside, there's a gap in the transcript, and readers aside, "In the beginning the word of the world was not present in human beings. It was only spread out in the world. But it was," readers aside, gap in the transcript, and readers aside, "in the very beginning the Logos was not with a human being, but with God. And little by little the Logos poured itself into humanity, very gradually. At first, with the Logos becoming life, in what was originally the physical human body. Then came the time of the Luciferic influences. If they had not occurred, the human being would have been penetrated by the Logos also with regard to the ether body. Now only a part was penetrated. In the astral light, the astral body would have become luminous in the human being had the Luciferic influences not happened. Now it was dimmed. The light did not shine in a way that human beings were able to apprehend it shining as a light. It shone into the darkness. It lit up fully at the moment of the John baptism, and the Logos became flesh and lived among human beings. The Logos had entered a human body and had taken on everything that human beings had made of themselves by descending ever deeper into matter. In this way he had taken all pain on to himself. Through this one can gradually arrive at an understanding of what took place at the John baptism. But he was destined not only to experience that which one experiences from one incarnation to the other, but that which one feels in the human body through initiation. This has not been described by John the Evangelist, for he was to describe the Christ who realizes. The others, Matthew and Luke, were to describe the Christ living in the astral body. Matthew describes the Solomon Jesus boy until his 12th year. Even if the Zarathustra eye was later in the other, in the Nathan Jesus boy, it had developed within the former, awakened all the feelings in him. Therefore he kept what he had experienced in this body. Matthew describes Christ Jesus in particular as a human being. The one who had to describe especially the astral body was Luke. The seers, Matthew and Luke, described the human being, Jesus. Matthew from the outside, Luke from the inside. The seers, Mark and John, had to write differently. Mark had to fix his gaze on the Logos, how it penetrates all things, on the Logos in the periphery, as it lights up in Jesus of Nazareth. Therefore he describes what took place after the baptism. John wanted to describe how this Logos became an inner being, how it lit up as an eye. For John, Christ was foremost the vanquisher, the great overcomer, to whom human beings look up as their ideal. The seers Matthew and Luke describe the human side, the human being with an outer aspect, penetrated by the Christ being, Mark. The inner logos, John. How he comes from the outside and becomes inward, Mark. How he becomes flesh and pours himself outward, John. Now it had to be described how the human being, who carried the Christ within himself, not only experienced the human aspect, the temporal aspect, but the initiate, the eternal aspect, Mark. The others describe as true seers what had to be overcome, what the I means when it has overcome the highest perfection that is described by John. In those times before Christ Jesus lived, initiation could be experienced in two ways, the more Egyptian and the more Persian, Mithras. Egyptian, developing toward the inner part of the soul, turned away from the outer world, toward the inside. Everything that surges up and down in the astral body is Maya, and we come to the spiritual level only when we descend into deeper grounds. Let us imagine a soul that had been initiated in Egypt. It had to find everything evil that had mixed itself into this soul from one incarnation to the other. Today we call this the tempter, or the lesser guardian of the threshold. He is the expression of the Luciferic being in the soul, pride, lies. One had to break free from this. But human beings can only free themselves from that which they meet eye to eye, EYE. They have to see all sources of pride and vanity in themselves if they want to free themselves from them. He has to experience every possibility for illusions, all possibilities for lies. At this stage, there easily arises the temptation to believe that the spiritual reality has already been found, that something is known, something is gained. Here they meet the lesser guardian of the threshold. This is what the initiand in the Egyptian mysteries had to do, meet everything the Luciferic beings had made of the soul. In the Greek mysteries, it was called diabolos. In the Persian initiation that wanted to lead the human being into the world, the individual did not have to descend, but to get outside of themselves, had to fall into ecstasy. There met a different power. The power that prevents human beings from finding the spirit in the outer world, that pretends that the haze of the senses is the only reality. Believing that the physical is real is just as clever as seeing the mirror image as the truth. But the Luciferic forces have seduced us into seeing the now opaque mirror of Maya as the truth. The Zarathustra was able to speak of the other type of forces that hinder human beings from coming to the spirit, Ahriman, who was able to go into opposition after the Luciferic powers had woven the veil. Human beings, when they fall into ecstasy, bring with them the misconception that the external world is not the veil. The second guardian of the threshold saves them from this. The belief in the material world comes before their eyes like an illusion. The great guardian is the one who invites us to distinguish this illusion from the true spiritual world. Two stops have to be distinguished. A person has to either have the strength to resist, to hurry past, else they remain standing with the guardian of the threshold, unable to continue. There is thus the possibility to remain with vanity and lies, with the diabolos, while the outer tempter, who creates the illusory images, is called Satan. We meet Satan as the tempter when we follow the path outward, diabolos when we follow the path inward. The great guardian of the threshold leads us beyond the temptations of Satan. The two initiations were to be united in Christ Jesus, therefore he had to overcome both tempters. The tempter who paints the pictures of illusion, Satan. He is described by the seer Mark. And the writers of the human side of Christ Jesus had to describe how the other tempter stood in the way when he descended into the soul. If you read the scenes of the temptation in Matthew and Luke, you will see that they differ vastly from Mark, and with good reason. Satan with the outer initiation, Diabolos with the inner initiation. It is not a coincidence that they are described in this way. It is well justified. Consequently, the scene of temptation is described differently. Turn rocks into bread, it is said in Luke and Matthew. And speaking to vanity, the tempter, the diabolo, says, I will give you everything, and you shall rule over it. A being is described here who wants to raise a world egotistically only for himself, and who does not believe that one is to penetrate the world which is spread out all around us. And Mark, the initiate who reaches outward, what does he experience? There are two kingdoms of nature in the outer world, the mineral and the plant kingdoms, that have not been penetrated by an astral body. The possibilities of vanity and misconception, the possibility of falling, are only present in an astral body. These can be carried into the outer world through us. In what garb will our misconceptions clothe themselves? In animal form, not in plants. The possibility of misconception regarding the outer world is expressed in animal forms, whom we must overcome. Only because we see next to ourselves the angelic figure of the great guardian of the threshold can we overcome the animal forms that we otherwise would take for true expressions of the spiritual world. This is so beautifully expressed in Mark. He was led into the desert, and he was with the animals, and the angels served him. That means they led him upward. Where two Gospels report different things, we can prove that they have reason to say different things. The path inward leads past temptations and the lesser guardian of the threshold who destroys self-illusions. The path of Mark goes outward. In this way, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, do not describe what an ordinary human being has to go through on the earth, but the initiate of any kind. The writer of John's Gospel, however, had to describe how the Christ became the overcomer, who acquired the ability to experience the life of the entire world. The ideal of the future is shown to us in the life of Christ Jesus. Such an individuality does not live egotistically within, but within any kind of being. For this reason, it can call forth in any being the forces to live like this at some stage. I am the light and the life. He can therefore pour this light and life into another individuality. In the raising of Lazarus, we have a description of the force whose life can flow into another individuality. His death will appear as life, for I am the life. Because he wanted to describe this powerful individuality, the writer of the Gospel of John does not describe the temptations first, but the overcomer. And he has become the overcomer at the cost of Christ Jesus, having made himself the Lamb of God, who does not want to be anything but an expression of God, nothing but what can give opportunity for the work of the will of the world. In the same way, the conviction arose in John the Baptist that the person standing before him truly was the Lamb of God, ready for the task. Theosophists can realize the truths ever more independently from the Gospels, and they shine toward them from the Gospels. From this we can see that those who wrote the Gospels were seers. This is the result when we first find the truths independently. The end of Lecture 5.